Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Well, we had such an incredible couple of weeks as a church family with our fall kickoff after party on the 8th. It was so great. And then again last weekend, we had baptisms. We had the kickoff of many of our Calvary groups and our new to Calvary lunch. And there was people from all over the world, literally. And so it was wonderful meeting some of you that are here today. Maybe those of you that are watching online. Interestingly enough, as we got around meeting people at the new to Calvary lunch, these are people, some of you that are new, just like this was your first Sunday. I think I talked to a gentleman, it was his first Sunday ever in church. And then other people that have been coming for a few months. But what I found so fascinating was that maybe there was one person that I think found us through Google, but everyone else had one important thing in common. Every one of them were invited by somebody. And so the life change that people experience, what God is at work doing in people's lives, is often started with just your invitation. And so never underestimate when you say, hey man, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Like, you don't know where it's going from there, because God has his hand on people at different times and for different seasons. So Pastor Susan and I just loved getting around and meeting so many of you personally. And we're so glad that you feel at home here, that you feel welcomed. I heard that a lot over and over. This is just such a welcoming place. It's like a family. I love to hear those reports. And I want to give thanks as well to Team Calvary, everyone who prepped and worked so hard, setting up, tearing down, getting things together for a busy couple of weeks. It's well worth it when you see the impact that it has on people's lives and on our community. So I'm so proud of all of you. I love you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's wonderful. All right, get your Bibles out. We're going to jump into the Word of God today. You know, when it comes to the value of church community and recognizing that the time is now in relation to, you know, those important next steps that we need to take as disciples, I think one of my favorite verses in Scripture is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2, 8. Here Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he begins to kind of think back on his last visit there. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, 8, Paul says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too." Don't you love that? So the reason I love that verse is because I think it summarizes the two kind of complementary and sometimes competing parts of our shared purpose. There is a mission to accomplish. Paul reminded them that they had shared God's good news. But there's also a life to be shared. So Paul highlights how they took the time to share their lives with one another as they spent time together. So important. As that mission is carried out, they gave of themselves, which really is just an echo of our mission as a church, to love God, love people, to love the life that he's given us and how we can share it with other people. You know, no one can effectively do ministry alone. And I've found that if you go to a church and they have a healthy team structure with people serving, it's usually a healthy church. And serving on a team, being connected to a small group, helps to shape who God has called each of us to be. And I believe that it's these shared connections that are so vital to our spiritual development. Our lives, our families, everything about who we are is all enhanced out of our care for other people, out of the company that we surround ourselves with and keep. You know, over the summer months, like many of you, we took time to slow down, have a little break, watch the clouds go by, maybe sit on the patio, have a cup of coffee for those that like that, and we did that. And while we took the time to do it, you know, Pastor Susan, she loves a good, strong cup of coffee. We were just talking about this with our team in the office, and she's always after me about, like, you're missing out. You're just missing out. Like, you should enjoy this moment and have some coffee. I can't believe you don't like coffee, over and over and over again. So I'm like, I just don't care for it. Because for me, if I'm going to have some liquid refreshment, it's got to be cold. I like a glass full of ice. And really, my drink of choice has always been cold water. And so hot drinks, not really my favorite. Maybe in the winter when we go out together, I'll get like a mocha. But that's just the hot chocolate. It just doesn't even taste like coffee to me. As a matter of fact, I do like tea a little bit. You know, over the years, every Sunday when I finish preaching here, I cross over to our Mandarin campus. And when I arrive there either to preach a message or to close their service, they always have a glass of hot tea in the front row waiting for me to honor me for being there with them. I think it's an incredible thing. And so I've grown to enjoy the occasional cup of tea. Anyways, recently Susan convinced me to finally, this was like 2 weeks ago, to finally try to have a cup of coffee with her, the same kind of strength as the coffee that she has. And so here I am, 57 years old, I'm just starting to drink coffee. And let me tell you, when the caffeine hits my system, because I'm a newbie, it just goes right to my brain. And I feel like I can see through walls. I literally feel like I can hear the grass growing and ants marching through the backyard. I feel like my whole body is vibrating because of the caffeine, because I'm just simply not used to it. But over the summer, as we have our cup of coffee together, we occasionally will hear in the early morning a little girl who gets ready. She comes out of her house, and when she gets outside, she just screams, "Hello!" And then she'll wait, and she'll wait. She says, "Hello!" And so for the first couple of times that we heard it, we were actually quite concerned, because we thought, well, maybe this little girl has got locked out of her house, and she's like trying to get back in. But no, she was fine. She was just starting her day. She was kind of like a little Adele. That's all she would say every morning, "Hello!" And just waiting for anybody out there to answer. She didn't need coffee like we did. She just needed a friend. And she would wait. And if nobody answered, she would keep yelling, "Hello." And so finally, somebody will come running, and then they would play together, and she was content. Now, what she doesn't know, what that little girl doesn't know at her young age, is that God has actually wired her the same way he's wired you and I, with a need for connection, with a need for community within our lives, wired to connect with other people. And I think over time, we need to understand that as we get older, I think that hello gets quieter and quieter, especially if people are not responding or you're not hearing a response. And then it's kind of like a silent scream, and the only way that you can hear it is to really come close to people in their lives, and you almost have to look for it. You almost have to listen for it and encourage it to come out. But there's people that come on Sunday and they're looking bewildered, or they're there for the first time. And what I love about our church is the willingness for people to step up to the plate and just say, "Hello." And out goes the hand and the conversation begins. Five simple letters that start sometimes some of the greatest relationships, because someone has slowed down with that simple word. And what is the result of that? I'll tell you what the result of it is. Look around you. It's a growing, healthy church filled with people that are involved and strengthening one another as they grow and live life together. Now, other times that hello is not coming from the people around you. Sometimes that hello is coming from heaven. Sometimes it's the voice of God trying to get our attention to recognize the time that we're in. It's kind of like when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden, did something that they weren't supposed to do, and now suddenly they're all covered up and hiding, and God walks through the garden and says, "Hello, where did you go? Where are you guys?" Now, he knew where they were, but he knew that something shifted in their heart. See, God realizes that with the busyness of life, with our distractions that so easily pull us from side to side, that we need sometimes to be brought back, to be realigned. And so God used in Scripture prophets that would speak on behalf of God, kind of like the prophet Haggai, who we talked about when we began our series. In episode 1, we talked about this prophet who basically went before the people to tell them that they had lost their way. They had lost their focus. And he was calling them back. You see, these people had zeroed in on their own needs, and they had allowed the temple, the house of God, to be abandoned. The building that had started with great excitement now had grinded to a halt, and people had forgotten what God had called them to do. But when God spoke through the prophet Haggai, he was basically saying, "Hello, hello, like, are you still there? Do you realize that the state of your nation is connected to your disconnection from me and for the purpose that I have for you? You've lost your sense of urgency. You've now looked at things that have pulled your focus. And now your heart reflects the condition of your struggling nation. And no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you try to see a return come, it's just you're straining, you're struggling. Because you've got away from your first love. You've got away from what God has called you to do. Because this struggle that people recognized was something that they tried to solve on their own, and they just could not do it. Because they had stopped taking those important next steps to come closer to God, to do what he had called them to do, to serve him and to serve his people. So let's pick up in the latter part of verse 1 in Haggai. It says, "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people." Again, hello, it's me. And he says these words, which are very important. He says, "I am with you, declares the Lord." Now let's bring it to a full stop right there. Because somebody here today, either here in the house or watching online in the broadcast, needs to hear that. You need to hear the voice of the Lord saying, "I am with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how impossible it looks, I am with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God is in step, and he's there with you." And even if you left this place today, or even right now, if you take that message away with you today, that will change your life to recognize that God is with you. Verse 14, it says, "So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people." Then it says they came, or they took steps forward. They started to serve again. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. You see, when God is with you, no matter what it is that you're doing, whatever you put your hand to do, when God is with you in business, listen, he will multiply your efforts and lead you into steps that will produce a good return for your work. When God is with you in your marriage, he will guide you and your steps and give you a love for your spouse that will be shaken at times, but it won't be broken. When God is with you as you lead and love your family, he will walk you through the storms and give you a legacy that will last through your children, that will forever honor him. When God is with you, you will never be shaken, never forsaken, and your steps will always lead to life. Steps are so key, so important. Now, for new parents, and some of you here today are in that time of life right now, after birth, one of the most exciting things outside of baby's first words is the first step, or the first steps. Listen, we go crazy when that happens. We're rushing around trying to find our phone to capture this moment on video so that we can send it to friends, we can post it. Like, I remember those moments, how exciting those first steps were.
And how you tell everybody, he took his first steps. I can't believe it. Like, it's incredible. And you tell this person, you tell the bus driver, you tell anybody on the SkyTrain that your child just took their first steps. But here's the thing. It doesn't stop there. After those first baby steps in this life, we keep taking them. New steps to kindergarten, to grade school and college. Taking steps to meet new friends, new steps to job interviews, steps in our physical and our mental health, steps to new relationships, new steps to church, steps to follow Jesus, to get baptized, to be a part of a church family, to live in community, and to take steps to begin to serve other people. Our lives are filled with next steps. That's really what discipleship is all about, following in his steps. He must increase, I must decrease, walking in the way. This is the way. Psalm 37, 23 to 24, David says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Another translation says that the righteous steps of a man or woman are ordered of God. That the steps of those who live according to his plan, the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. And it says he delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, and listen, we will from time to time, they will never fail. They will never fall. For the Lord holds them up by the hand. So he's got you. He's with you today. Again, whether you're here, whether you're watching on the broadcast, whether you're listening to the podcast while you work out, today he is with you and he's got you. This is basically saying that even though God is ordering your steps, there will be times when we stumble. There will be times that we make mistakes. Times when we actually start going in the wrong direction. But here's the good news. God doesn't say, that's it. Man, I am done with you. No soup for you. Like, move it along. No. He will be right there to pick us up. He'll help us get back on the right course. The time is now to keep moving forward. And I think it's important for us to always be reminded that serving within the church isn't just filling a position. It just isn't about filling a role. It's a calling from God. It comes with a much deeper purpose, one that we've been created for. And when we answer that call, like the people in Haggai's day, when he called them back to the building of the temple, we begin to realize that everything else in our lives begins to improve at the same time. You've been working so hard, striving to make all this work. Seems like every time you fill this bucket up, it just drains out because there's holes all in the bottom of it. But it's because your priorities are off. When you come back to him and you put your priorities first, the time is now for God to intervene and accelerate your efforts to move you forward. And as we seek his kingdom first, he takes care of the rest of those things, the things that keep us up at night, the things that stress us out and give us anxious feelings. When you align your life with God's purpose, it transforms your ability and it enriches everything you put your hand to do. I heard something once that I will never forget. It went like this. There's three things that you can do with your life. You can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. You see, to make your life truly amazing is to invest it in something that will outlast your life. Don't just live for today. Don't just live for yourself. Give your life away. God the Father gave us an incredible example by sending his son into the world to demonstrate what this means. And we know, according to Mark, that Christ came to do two things. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he came to serve and he came to give. So, done properly, what does serving look like as it's modeled by the life of Jesus? Well, the first thing that we see in how Jesus served others is that serving is a merciful act. The book of Matthew says that Jesus was walking one day on his way to Jericho, and a couple of blind guys heard that Jesus was coming this way. So they started screaming. They started trying to get his attention, because they knew that if they could get his attention, that maybe, just maybe, something in their life would change. The crowd's response was not favorable to them. They basically just said, "Shut it! Like the master is coming. Don't disturb him. He's got things to do." Matthew chapter 20, verses 30, and then jumping down to 32, it says, "When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when Jesus heard them, he stopped and he called out, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" I love the fact that Jesus never assumed what people wanted. Now, clearly, he could see that they were blind, and they probably wanted to see again. But he wanted to hear it from them. He wanted for them to articulate their faith. But what's interesting to me is this word "stopped." If you've got a Bible, page-turning Bible, circle that word. If you've got a Bible app, highlight the word "stopped." Because I think it's very interesting that we consider the stops of Christ throughout his ministry. If you want to be effectively used by God, if you want to serve God properly, you must be willing to show mercy. And I'll tell you this, anytime you do, you usually end up interrupting your life. Jesus was interrupted all the time. As a matter of fact, most of his ministry and his miracles all centered around an interruption. People reaching out to touch him, people screaming out to try to get his attention. Let's never forget the stops of Jesus are significant. How many are thankful today that when you called out to him, he stopped and his focus was on you alone? Serving is a merciful act. Second thing that we see in the life of Jesus when it comes to service is that serving is a grateful act. To serve like Jesus is to recognize the time we're in and to understand that we have to serve gratefully. Grateful that we just get to do this. We get to serve and love one another. Jesus went to a funeral to his friend Lazarus, not just to mourn, and he was there with them to share in their time of grieving, but he went to minister. John chapter 11, verse 41 to 42 says, "So they rolled the stone aside, and then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me.'" In other words, I want them to know that I'm grateful that when I call out to heaven, when I call out to my Father, that he hears me. Jesus was modeling how to serve with a thankful heart. So powerful. The third thing that we see in the life of Christ when it comes to his service is that serving is a faithful act. And what does that one mean? What does it mean to serve faithfully? It basically just means to not give up. You keep on pushing forward. You keep going. You don't quit in the middle of your assignment. You know, Jesus was faithful in fulfilling his service. And at the end of his time and his ministry on earth, he said this in John 17:4, "I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." I want all of you someday to be able to be able to say that when it's all said and done and you walk into heaven, to say, I've completed the work that you gave me to do. Like, I wasn't perfect, but I did what I knew to be true. And I trusted you every step of the way. And like Christ, you didn't give up. You didn't give in. You were faithful in taking those next steps to serve him and to serve other people. You know, one of the great benefits to loving God, loving people, and loving the life that we've been given is the growth that we experience together when we lock arms with one another. That threefold cord is stronger. We're so much stronger together than we are on our own. That's why the enemy, whenever he seeks to discourage you one of his greatest tactics and most obvious ones is just to separate you from the flock, to pull you off to the side, to beat you around, to get you alone. That's why sometimes we just like, I just don't want to be around anybody right now. I just want to be by myself. That isolation is not healthy for anybody. On our own, our growth is just so limited. But together, our steps are multiplied and strengthened to reach new heights together. You know, that patio I told you about where Susan and I drink our coffee. One day, Susan came home with a plant that she bought at the store. It was on sale. I think it was like 50% off. But let me tell you this. It looked like it was a 50% off sale. It was hurting. Like it was, this plant had seen its better days, and those better days were not with us. And so she thought, you know, it was a good deal. I picked it up. I'm just gonna try to bring it back to life. And so every day she watered it, she put it in the sun, she got some of that lattice, put it in behind the plant for some support. And day by day, the vines started to kind of grow, and they started to attach themselves to the lattice behind the plant. And it was amazing, because suddenly this thing, if you looked at the pot, you'd think, I think it's dead. And yet this thing had reached out, grabbed onto this lattice, and vines began locking together, and flowers started to pop out. Leaves started to show up. And suddenly a lattice that had nothing on it was now filled with life, with growth. As a matter of fact, if you came early enough in the morning and stared at this thing, you'd actually see some of these little flowers almost shaking as they were kind of opening. It was pretty amazing. But I thought to myself, I wonder if this plant will get to the top of the lattice. I wonder if it'll make it that far. Is it going to do it? And week by week, you would see the progress. We'd come out and we're like, look at that thing. Like now it's at the top of the lattice. But I thought, that's it. Like it's reached the top and you could see one strand kind of going beyond it. And then it started to kind of come back on itself because it had nothing now to grab onto. But interestingly enough, when it reached the top, it had nothing to grab onto. Suddenly another vine came up alongside and another one, and they began to coil themselves together. Now I'm not seeing this in real time, obviously. This has taken place over a series of days and weeks. But now in order to go higher, where there was no support, the support that it drew from was other vines interconnecting. And you can see in the picture that I'm showing you here that over time, it continued to grow. When it reached the top, and it should have been over, it went beyond. It reached new heights. Because now that there was this one strong kind of vine made up of three or four of them together, and then, like, right now, it's pretty much up at the top of where the light is. It's amazing to me. Because again, on our own, our growth is limited, but together, our steps become multiplied. When we link ourselves with other people, we reach new heights together. Today, I want to give you a practical opportunity, whether you're here in the house or watching online, to experience those next steps as you serve and grow with other people. And so what I want you to do is, if you're here today, go ahead and pull this orange Next Steps cards out of the seat pocket in front of you. And I want everyone who's here to take time right now. And if you're on the broadcast, go ahead and just let the host know that's there that I want more information. I'd love to be able to serve. Tell them what you're interested in, and they'll give you a means of contact. You can go info@calvary.ca. We'll get you the information that you need, and somebody will contact you to get you involved and serving in a way that brings growth in your life. And so take some time today, even right now, grab a pen from somebody, and on the back, you're going to see what interests you. And there's a few different opportunities there. Check the ones that interest you. Put your name, your phone number, and your email. And on your way out today, you'll see ushers at each of the doors. If you're giving, you can give your offering to them on the way out, but you can drop this card off in the buckets on the way out, or stop by the welcome wagon on the way out and give that to them as well. And in the coming weeks, one of our ministry directors, one of our team members, is going to contact you to give you some more information and to give you a kind of an opportunity to take a next step. And through it, to see new growth in your life that maybe you struggled with on your own. But I want to encourage all of you today. Every year, this time of the year, we reach out to all of you because we still, as we grow, the needs become more. And so we need more people to serve and to love and to lead. And so that's all of you. So take some time today to fill that out and just to get some more information so that you can pray about what those next steps may be. And if you need a little bit more time, that's okay too. Again, let the host know what you're interested in and somebody will connect with you. But today, my prayer for you as we close is that like Christ and what he modeled for us, that we'll understand that our service to him is a merciful one. It's a faithful one. It's a grateful one. Let's follow in his footsteps and understand that the discipleship track that we're on allows us to come together and to become so much stronger as we serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity we have here in our church community to continue to grow together, to come closer to you. We love you, Lord. And I pray that each of us today would take steps to be a part of that mission of loving God, loving the people, and loving the life that you've given us. Because we know that our mission is twofold. It's to share the gospel, but it's also share our lives. And in doing that, we're made to reflect more of you and less of us, more of your character, to love, Lord, what you love. Now, I also want to say to those of you that are here or watching online that if you're seeking answers today, if you're in need of the kind of love I'm talking about when it comes to knowing Christ in a personal way, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. I want you to know that Jesus came, he died on a cross to forgive you of your sins, to give you a new beginning, a new start, to serve his church and his people, but to begin by saying yes. Today, God's saying to you, hello. Hello, are you there? Because I'm calling you. And if that's you today and you'd say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? I need to know Jesus like you're talking about. Then pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're seeking to save me, that you gave your life, you laid it all down so that I could pick it up and live it. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I ask that you come into my heart. Please be my Lord and Savior and help me to live the way that you've called me to, that I would love others the way that you have loved me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best to you, Calvary. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to being with you again next Sunday. All right, still real.